I'd like to read for you a longer passage of Scripture, and it's the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, and it's found in Matthew chapter 25, and beginning at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That parable is about being ready. And we all know the importance of being ready if there's some kind of crucial or important event. To be unprepared, of course, is to invite disaster. It concerns those who are wise and foolish. And it's so plain to see that the wise ones who were the ones who were prepared for the unforeseen eventualities that possibly the bridegroom would delay his coming. The foolish thought, well, everything's going to go just like we thought it would, and they didn't make any extra preparation. Jesus taught many times in his preaching that his return would be unexpected, that no one would know or be able to foresee the time that he would return. And we need to ask ourselves, as Jesus said there in the latter part of that parable, are we watching? Are we living in such a way that indicates that, as it were, we have an eye toward heaven and that we're looking for that event and we're anticipating his return? It may come within our lifetime, or we may go and leave this world and soon face those eventualities as well. We need to remember the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. And certainly that's good advice, to be prepared. But we need to ask the question, who should prepare? Who is it that needs to be ready and preparing? Well, we see that Jesus, in giving the Great Commission, said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature, that is, every rational and accountable person, needs to be prepared. They need to be watching for the Lord's return, and the gospel tells them how to be prepared for that, and so he commissioned them to go and to preach. And we have the same commission today, because there are thousands and thousands of people around us who are not watching. They're not ready. They're not prepared. No rational person is left out. There's a scene there that's depicted for us in language in the book of Revelation in chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. The great judgment scene is depicted as the opening of books. And there before the great judge, Jesus Christ, is all people who have ever lived. And the judgment scene is set. And so many of them are unprepared for that time because they are there with their sins. They've not been forgiven. And if you read further in the text, of course, you see that whoever is not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we might ask the question, who should be prepared? Everybody. And that includes us here. For what must we be prepared? That is, what are we thinking about? Well, again, it's this great judgment day. In speaking to the Athenians, Paul said concerning, speaking about their worship, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Paul's saying there's a judgment day coming. The times of ignorance is no longer an excuse. And of course, people who don't hear the gospel, they're ignorant. That is, no, there's no excuse for us, but there's no excuse for them. And it's important to realize this gravity of this great judgment day, because it's the day for which all other days were made. You might say that God, when he created the world on that first day of creation, was looking forward to the day when it would all be consummated by the great judgment, wherein those righteous, faithful individuals will be invited to eternal life. And on the other hand, those who were not faithful, the unbelieving, will be consigned to their doom. This day has to do with how we've lived. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Again, this idea of judgment. Are we ready for that? Are we watching for that time? The judgment seat of Christ is coming, and we must be ready. And so why? Well, again, it seems that we've already explained that, but it's axiomatic. We don't know when the end will come. And that's why we need to be ready all the time. You may have something that you're ready for. For instance, I hope, since you live in this area, if you do, that you are ready for, say, a power outage. That you've got good batteries in your flashlights. That you make sure that you have adequate gasoline in your car, that if you have to evacuate, especially in the summertime. That you're ready, that you have a supply of foodstuffs in case the stores are not available. And so we understand the importance of being ready for earthly disasters, but are we ready for this greatest of all disasters for the wicked, in that when Jesus comes? Now, it's his intent to save all that will obey him, but there are some who won't. Why should we prepare again? Because we don't know the end. But also, we need to be prepared because life is uncertain. I'm glad to see everybody here. I don't know if I'll see everybody here again next week. Maybe you won't see me. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Death is a reality, as we all know. And when that time comes, if we haven't been prepared, there will be no further preparation to be made. The Lord may return at any time. Again, a lot of people don't think that Jesus is coming again. They say, "Look, it's been so long. If he would have come, surely he would have come by now." But I'm glad he hasn't come as yet. At least by the year that I obeyed the gospel. Because if he came before that, I'd never know anything about heaven. I wouldn't have existed. And so the Lord delays his coming. You know, we read in 2 Peter 3:9, "God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God is giving every opportunity for as many as will hear and obey, for them to be saved." Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." When must we prepare? There's only one time that we can do anything, and that's now. You can't do anything yesterday because that day is gone. And you can't do anything tomorrow because it hasn't come yet. But you do have now. You have today. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 that Paul writes, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's the time that we can prepare, is when we have the opportunity to do so. And that's only in the present. But also it's important to stay prepared. We need to remember that what we've done in the past might not prepare us for the Lord's coming, because we can't rest on our laurels. That is, we can't say, well, look, I've been attending all my life. You know, doesn't that count for something? And look, my parents were Christians before me, and they were lived good, godly lives. And I've read my Bible. Surely I've done enough. Can't I just sit back now and wait for the Lord to come? Can't I just retire? I had a saying, and I haven't found it by anybody else, but I'm sure it's not original. The Lord is not so concerned about how late you enter into his service, but he does not take patiently those who quit early. You can't quit early, because that's giving up on the Lord. That's giving up on yourself. Many people have entered into the Lord's service late in life. I heard of a man that was 95 years old who obeyed the gospel. And he didn't live very many years, as most people of that age do. But he requested prior to his death that his baptismal certificate be placed there in his hands in the casket and be left there. He wanted the Lord to know, I've obeyed the gospel. Of course, we might think, well, that's silly. But the point was that he wanted to let the Lord know that I'm prepared, I'm ready. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 40, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. So all this about preparing, how do I prepare? Well, you need to be right with God. That means you need to believe in Jesus Christ and believe he is God's Son. Believe that God raised him from the dead. You need to repent of sin. You can't continue on living a sinful lifestyle and think that somehow God's going to overlook that. We need to confess our faith, be willing to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, and then, of course, to be baptized into Christ. Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And once we've done that, again, don't think now you've got your ticket punched for heaven, because there's something else, and that's stay right with God. Stay faithful. Never give up. In the last part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. If we're going to be ready for the Lord, that means that we're going to have to be steadfast, be patient, be perseverant. And again, consider the parable of the sower, another well-known parable that Jesus told. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll just read you the one part about the good ground. In verse 15 of Luke 8, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They kept the word and brought forth fruit. The others, all of them were barren. The good ground is the only one that bore fruit. And how did they do it? They heard and they kept it. They heard God's word and they kept it. That is, they did what it taught. We need to keep watching for the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 13:33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And keep on working for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we might get discouraged, and we think, there's just, what's the use? You know, I keep on keeping on, and I don't see any progress, don't see anything good happening. Maybe I should just quit. Paul says, keep on abounding in the work. Keep on doing the work, because God will give the increase, but we've got to have faith in God. We've got to be willing to wait on him. Those of you that grow gardens, you know that you can go out there and you can till up the soil and you can plant the seed and you can water it and you can fertilize it, but don't stand back with your arms folded waiting for the crops to jump up in the next 20 minutes, because it won't happen. There takes some patience. There takes some waiting. And likewise, we must do the same in our own work. Perseverance will bring us to the Lord. And perseverance always reminds us of the idea of staying in the race. You know, the Hebrews writer gave us a wonderful picture of being in a race. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Notice the idea of running with patience. Otherwise, stay in the race. Look to Jesus. He finished his course. And if our eyes are on him, he's there at the finish line. If our eyes are off of the Lord, we may be diverted from the course and think that we're going on the race course, but actually we've taken a side road, and there will be no finish line to that side road. The only finish line is found in the Lord's way, and so we must keep our eyes on him and never give up. James chapter 5, verse 8, James says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." He is coming. Just keep patiently waiting. What if I don't? What if I don't prepare? Well, let's look back and see what happened to the foolish virgins who were unprepared. "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." That lesson is so grave that these people in the parable were unprepared. They weren't watching. They weren't there when the Lord returned. They were off shopping. And the wedding procession went in. The doors were closed. And there's such a finality in that phrase, "and the doors were shut." Otherwise, there's no latecomers. If you're not there, you're not anywhere. There, of course, will be nothing to offer as a ransom. We don't hear the virgins say, the foolish ones saying, "Lord, we'll pay double. You know, we'll pay more if we can get in." There's no offer like that, nothing like that. Matthew 16 and verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, their situation was hopeless. There was no way that they could ever get into the wedding because the doors were shut. Likewise, if we turn away from the Lord, if we leave the faith, our situation will be hopeless as well. Look what the Hebrews writer says in chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." There's just no hope if we're not ready. Revelation chapter 20, the last part of the chapter, says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Those people who were watching for Jesus, and that's the idea of being faithful to the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, keeping patient and persevering, they don't have to fear the second death. Will Jesus find us watching? Well, then be prepared and be patient, persevere. This morning, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ and believe he is God's son, why not decide today, "I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to let that day catch me unawares. I'm not going to go to the Lord in death unprepared to face judgment." And how can you do that? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is, believe he is God's son. Repent of sin. That is, resolve in your heart to turn away from anything that the Bible teaches is sinful. Confess that faith that you have in Christ, that you believe he is the Son of God, and then be buried with him in baptism for remission of sins. And as a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, you're not prepared. You're not ready for the Lord's return, but you can be ready this morning if you will repent of sin and ask God to forgive. And we'd be glad to pray along with you and help you in any way that's scriptural and right. Our song is for your encouragement as we stand and as we sing.